Very good morning to you. Welcome to the Papers podcast for Wednesday, the 20th of March, 2024. Light drizzle is the order of the morning here in Salford. Light drizzle. It's a miserable old morning. But again, like yesterday, it's very, very mild. So at least we have that. Now, let's go straight to the front pages of today's newspapers. The Daily Mirror is claiming a Royal World exclusive, which is kind of funny, because so is the Daily Mail, covering the same story. Kate's medical records security breach is the headline on the front page of the Mirror. This is an allegation that Kate Middleton, the Princess of Wales, that her medical records were potentially accessed by a member of staff at the clinic where she had abdominal surgery in January. Now, the clinic in question hasn't confirmed any investigation, but said it takes the privacy of its patients very seriously. Kensington Palace also refused to be drawn into the story and refused to comment on the allegations. This is on the front page of many of the papers. The Times: clinic leads, clinic staff attempted to access Kate's private notes, is the headline. Also on the front page of the Times: Trump, US will 100% stay in NATO if Europe plays fair. Donald Trump gave an interview, granted an interview to his pal Nigel Farage from GB News and the honorary president of the Reform Party, Reform UK. I didn't watch much of it. It wasn't an interview as such. Rather, as I had suggested previously, a series of softball questions lobbed up in the air for Trump to bat back across the net. Journalism truly is dead, at least in the mainstream media. So Trump assured Farage that the US will do its bit in NATO if Europe plays fair, if the European NATO members pay their way. Okay, the Times. So that was the Times. Daily Mail: staff at Kate's hospital try to access her records. There you are. There's also a photograph of an actor on the front page of the Daily Mail who it is believed has been offered the gig to be the new James Bond. His name escapes me, funnily enough. At 6:06 a.m. on a Wednesday morning, we might come back to it, we might not, the Daily Mail is lamenting the fact that the actor in question is a self-declared feminist. How in the name of Jesus, then, could he play James Bond, is the question. The Sun: I saw Kate with my own eyes. When will trolls lay off, is the headline. So The Sun's exclusive is an interview with the man who took the video of the Prince and Princess of Wales at the Garden Centre in Windsor. So they've interviewed this guy. You remember yesterday, the news networks ran a still image from his video saying, look at them, there's Kate and William, they were out and about. Of course, the internet went wild, or at least it did in the UK, and they said, look, they said, it isn't Kate, look. And they pointed out a number of alleged anomalies with the video still image. The guy who took it has said to the Sun, listen, leave this couple alone. I took the video. 'Twas definitely them. The Daily Express: Prince focuses on driving forwards and not Kate, rumours, is the headline. He's focused on doing his job and ignoring the rumour mill, says The Express, reporting on a visit by him to a shelter in Sheffield yesterday as part of his anti-homelessness initiative. He's allegedly very concerned about homelessness in the UK, and at one time, maybe more than once, he spent a night on the streets with some homeless people, didn't he? To be fair to him. The Daily Star, headline: World Goes Mad After Woman Goes Shopping, is the headline. It's the Star's take on the obsession and the chatter around the whereabouts of this woman, Kate Middleton. And that's, I suppose, what has fueled these stories, these incessant stories about her whereabouts and well-being, is the fact that she hasn't really been seen since she had the abdominal surgery in January. She posted a photograph on Mother's Day of her and her children, but later on, she had to admit that the photograph was heavily edited. The having published the photograph, news agents immediately issued a kill order saying that the photo had been edited. And of course, again, this only fueled these rumours that there's something wrong with this woman or her relationship with her husband or the royal family or whatever. So there you are. Financial Times has a story on the front page about Rachel Reeves, the shadow chancellor. She gave a speech last night talking about where she and Labour would take the economy in the event they were to win the next election. The Oi paper leads with that very story. Headline is, Reeves, we won't repeat mistakes of new Labour. The Guardian, social media blamed for surge in young people hit by midlife crisis. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. The US Surgeon General is visiting the UK at the moment, and he's issued a stark warning about happiness and young people, and how young people are less happy than ever before and are suffering the equivalent of a midlife crisis because of social media. The Metro, first cyber flasher jailed, is the headline. So the Metro leads on the very first jailing of a so-called cyber flasher. The man in question is Nicholas Hawkes. He sent unsolicited photos of himself to a 15-year-old girl and a 60-year-old woman. Interestingly enough, I was watching a news panel show recently. I can't remember which one. And there was a woman on it, a politician, who has an Instagram account. And there was a celebrity on it, on the panel, I mean. Now, when I say celebrity, I think some soap actress or other, who also would have an Instagram account. And both of them said that they are plagued by men sending them nude photographs via their Instagram accounts. And that the whole game here is, the perversity is, the guy sending the nude photograph is hoping that the well-known woman will open the picture. And that's basically cyber flashing. We would have considered flashing years ago, the guy jumping out from behind a car or behind a bush with a coat on and nothing underneath. But they're doing it now via the internet. And the first guy has been jailed for it. The first, we've now had the first guy jailed for this. It is creepy and disgusting, isn't it? You know, there's a lot of weirdos out there. The Daily Telegraph. Diversity drive has backfired, warns Badenoch. This is Kemi Badenoch, the business secretary. She says that Britain's diversity drive has backfired and that inclusion policies must not come at the expense of white men. So white men, basically, have suffered more than anybody because of this mad drive to diversity. She's the equalities minister. And she says the findings of a report commissioned by her show that while millions are being spent on equality, diversity and inclusion initiatives, many have little to no impact on increasing diversity or even reducing prejudice. And in fact, they're having a very negative effect on the outcomes for white men. Interesting, I suppose. You're listening to The Papers for Wednesday, the 20th of March, 2024. My name is Richie Allen. As usual, thank you so much for downloading it. This old nonsense. So the Times then, I'm going to talk for about 3 minutes about this Kate Middleton thing, because there's always a payoff, and it's up to us. It's incumbent. Do you like that? Do you like the pomposity? Do you like the pomposity? It is incumbent upon us as independent journalists to try and find out what the payoff is, what is really going on. Now, if staff at a clinic where anybody has been treated are trying to access that person's notes, maybe with the intention of posting them online or sharing them with the public, that is, of course, very wrong, irrespective of who the victim is, whether it's a member of the royal family, a actor or actress, or just Joe blogs like me, right? It's wrong. So the private hospital, London Clinic, tried to see Kate's private medical notes. So this is all about this conspiracy theory that all is not well with the royal family and this woman, the Princess of Wales. Now, the hospital where she received treatment and where Charles, the King, received treatment for an enlarged prostate is understood to have launched an inquiry. Kensington Palace said this is a matter for the London Clinic. The insider at the clinic says staff were hurt that a trusted colleague could have allegedly been responsible for such a breach of trust and ethics. The London Clinic said it firmly believes all our patients, no matter their status, deserve total privacy and confidentiality regarding their medical information. She had this surgery on January 16th at the hospital in Marylebone and spent 2 weeks there before being discharged. The precise nature of the condition has not been revealed. Now, what's going on here? I don't know. What might be going on here is we know that an online safety bill, which received royal assent without very much fanfare at all, a bill that is open-ended, a bill that can be amended at any time without the need for politicians to vote on it again. So this is legislation which has, what do they call this, special instruments. It's where a bill becomes law having passed the Commons and passed the House of Lords. A bill with statutory instruments attached to it, meaning that it can be changed and modified in the future without the need to go through the whole process of voting on it again, which is hardly democratic, because you end up with legislation some way down the line that wasn't actually voted in. You get what I'm saying? So the online safety bill purports to be about keeping people safe from harm online. And they put this through Parliament with a very heavy emphasis on the need to protect children online, to protect them from videos and material about self-harm and suicide and eating disorders and all sorts of nonsense like that. But in reality, the bill was really about, well, shutting down dissent anywhere that the government feels it's necessary to shut down dissent. And that could be about pandemic planning, or it could be about the rollout of vaccines, or it could be about the right to protest or whatever. So I think what will happen here in the coming days, today particularly, is there will be an outcry, and people will make the point, undoubtedly, that the internet's a very dangerous place, and that the spreading of wild and unsubstantiated conspiracy theories online have real world consequences for individuals like Kate Middleton, regardless of whether she is the Princess of Wales or whether she is Mary who works in the local pub. That these wild conspiracy theories, people openly discussing whether videos are fake or not, and people claiming the videos are fake without any evidence, are harming this woman and harming her children. Therefore, something needs to be done about it. And that's how I see it. And of course, I could be wrong. It's just my opinion. So that's a payoff, a potential payoff for the establishment, which wants to police what can and cannot be said, what can and cannot be viewed on the internet. So watch this one closely. Is it her in the video? I haven't a clue. You know, some people who I have interviewed on the programme, David Vance was on the show last night. David's a fairly level-headed bloke. He's always interesting. He's always got an interesting take on things. He's absolutely convinced that the still image from the video is fake, and there are many others who agree with him, but I suppose we'll have to wait and see. Now, the Telegraph, going with the same story, a BBC reporter says woman photographed with Prince William was Kate lookalike. So who is this BBC reporter then? Well, the BBC reporter is Sonia McLaughlin. She's a rugby reporter for the BBC. She's gone on Twitter and suggested the individual seen shopping with him, with William, was not his wife, but a double. She also suggested he, William, could have been replaced by an actor, commenting on a video which compares the individual in the latest footage against past pictures of the princess. Sonia McLaughlin wrote, "It's so obviously not Kate. Some newspapers are reporting it as a fact, but it isn't her. No conspiracy theorist, but it's all very odd." BBC rugby reporter Sonia McLaughlin saying, "I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but this is all very odd." Okay, let's leave Kate Middleton. The Guardian. Netanyahu determined to carry out Rafah assault despite pleas from Biden. So this is Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli Prime Minister. He said yesterday that he had made it supremely clear to the US President Joe Biden that we, Israel, are determined to complete the elimination of Hamas battalions in Rafah, and there's no way to do this except by going in on the ground. Now, they spoke on Monday, Netanyahu and Joe Biden, and the White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan said that the US told Netanyahu, Biden did, that storming Rafah would be a mistake and that Israel could achieve its military aims by other means. But speaking yesterday, Netanyahu said he would wait to hear proposals from the US out of respect to Biden about ways to protect civilians in Rafah before ordering the operations. But he doubled down, did Netanyahu, yesterday, saying he didn't see an alternative to a ground offensive if Israel was to carry out its goal of destroying Hamas. Israel's goal is not to destroy Hamas. Netanyahu, according to the Times of Israel, and I really do mean this, according to the Times of Israel, in the last 15 to 20 years, has done more than anybody else to see to it that Hamas is well-funded and well-resourced, because they believed hawks like Netanyahu and his pals, people who never wanted to see a two-state solution in Gaza, they believed that by propping up Hamas, they would undermine the Palestinian Authority. Right? And that ultimately that would make it next to impossible for any two-state solution to materialise. So, you know, the Times of Israel, in the wake of October 7th, ran a number of articles effectively laying the blame for what happened at the feet of hawks like Netanyahu and his far-right pals. Their aim is to destroy the people of Gaza, to murder them and to disappear them off the face of the earth. We know what's been going on since October 7th. They've been moving the Palestinians further and further south, right towards Egypt. And every time they've cleared an area, they have wrecked the area that has been vacated, completely destroying all the infrastructure there to make it almost impossible for a rebuilding initiative to happen in the event of any ceasefire or in the event that this would all come to an end. That's what's going on there. It is genocide with a capital G. And, of course, Joe Biden has no influence on it. The UK government has no influence on it. All the influence is held by the Zionist lobby in Washington, D.C. and in London. It is crimes against humanity every single day of the week. They are starving children to death in Gaza. And really, apart from a few independent media programmes and presenters, most people don't want to talk about it. Either they don't give a shit or they are completely and utterly beaten down, thinking, well, what the hell can we do about it from our home in London or in Glasgow or in Dublin? What can we do about it? It is terrible and I can't say any more about it. So we'll move to The Express then. The Express is running a story about a new opinion poll which has been conducted by Savanta. Headline, Reform lands huge poll victory with highest ever ranking in major blow to the Tories. So this poll by Savanta suggests that Reform has leapfrogged the Liberal Democrats to become the third most supported party in the UK. They're asking people how they're likely to vote, right? 44% said they would vote for Labour and 26% said they would vote for a Tory candidate, and 11% said they would vote for a Reform candidate. But Savanta and Chris Hopkins, the political research director at Savanta, he said basically that while this will be great news for Reform, it has to be seen if the poll would be backed up at the general election. Over the years, parties like UKIP and parties like the Brexit Party did really well in pre-election polling, but it didn't. It wasn't borne out by actual voting on the day. UKIP never had a member of parliament, did it, as far as I understand. So don't get too excited, says the Savanta guy, Chris Hopkins. Reform has been in the news a lot lately because Lee Anderson, the firebrand in inverted commas, as the newspapers refer to him, the firebrand politician, everyman, Lee Anderson, who had the whip removed by the Tories after he said that Sadiq Khan, the London mayor, was being controlled by Islamists. The Tories suspended him. He left the Tories and joined Reform. And this has been seen as a big boost for Reform in recent polling. The Guardian's lead story then is about a midlife crisis for young people, because Dr. Vivek Murthy, the US Surgeon General, is in the UK at the moment. And he is warning that the young generation, younger people, are becoming less happy than older generations as they suffer, quote, the equivalent of a midlife crisis. And he's laying the blame, the US Surgeon General, squarely at the feet of social media, saying that allowing children to use social media is like giving them medicine that it isn't proven to be safe. How fucking ironic. How ironic. The Surgeon General is here. He's talking about social media being like medicine that isn't proven to be safe. I wonder, will anybody ask him about the COVID jabs? Probably not. He says the failure of governments to better regulate social media in recent years was insane. I totally agree that young people are less happy. I totally agree that echo chambers are not good for children and for children's mental well-being. I totally agree with this. There is a drive towards narcissism in young people, and this is not making them happy either. You know, young people are increasingly more narcissistic because of social media echo chambers, because they're not challenged as robustly and as regularly as maybe you and I were challenged, you know, and criticised and confronted about our ideas and our beliefs when we were younger. So I agree this is a problem, but I don't think anybody is really that concerned about younger people. This is, again, a horror story designed, it's the problem reaction solution thing, to convince people something needs to be done about the internet and about what people can, not only what people can see, but what people can say. You cannot say this on the internet. You cannot say that vaccines are harmful or that vaccines are unnecessary. The reason you cannot say this, by the way, this is how I believe it's going to play out. You cannot say this because your conspiracy theories about vaccine, while they might not have any negative impact on you, they could influence somebody who is vulnerable. That person might make a decision about their health. They might make a decision not to take medicine that has been recommended by the government or by the medicines regulator, and that could lead to them being harmed somehow. This is where it's all going. So tell horror stories about how social media and the internet is really harmful for kids, and it is in some ways, of course. But they don't care about kids. They ultimately want not just to police the internet, but to take complete control of it and to bring in censorship on steroids. You're listening to the Papers podcast. Thank you for listening to it. Do me a favour, and if you've downloaded the app, if you have downloaded it on Google Play, or if you've downloaded it for Apple's App Store, if you're listening on iTunes, leave a review for the programme. Leave a review for The Richie Allen Show. I'm not going to tell you what to say. You say what you want, whether you like the show or not. Do leave me a review. I would appreciate it. It does actually help with the visibility of these programmes and podcasts. The Mirror. Deliveroo rider admits biting a customer's thumb off while delivering a pizza. I've, once or twice on The Richie Allen Show in the last 12 months, I've gone into a bit of a rant about rage, ironically. Rage is everywhere in society. I see it a lot. I see people rearing up on one another. That's a great Irish way of describing it. Over very innocuous perceived slights, you know. the most minor of perceived slights. I see it everywhere. You know, examples of it, I'm out running every day. I see people shouting at each other. Random strangers, sometimes from cars, sometimes bikes, sometimes people walking past one another. I really do mean this. Rage is everywhere. I think the conditions to generate rage in society, the conditions have been set out by the decisions made by governments and by government advisors in recent years, particularly the COVID years. Rage is everywhere. This is a crazy story about a woman called Jennifer Rocha. She could face a prison sentence, could, says the Mirror. Let's hope she's banged up for a couple of years. And I'm not somebody who likes to see people go to jail. This is a crazy mad bitch, right? She delivered a pizza to a guy. And when she delivered it, there was some argument over a delivery code. The guy was supposed to have some code to prove he was the legitimate recipient of the pizza. They got into an argument and this woman grabbed him and bit his thumb off. Completely. He's had to have part of his big toe surgically sewn onto the stump of his missing thumb. And I don't know every single detail about this, but this is rage. Rage is everywhere. There is a rage virus. People had been drifting further and further apart over the years. I've bored you to death on the Richie Allen Show talking about how people in neighbourhoods don't know each other anymore. They're not aware of who the people living next door to them are. You know, the people living next door but one. Beautiful British colloquialism, that. They don't know people in their neighbourhoods. People have been drifting further and further apart. And people are becoming less tolerant of others and of the ideas of others and of the problems that others are experiencing. And you see it everywhere now, rage. And that's not an isolated incident. If you troll the tabloid newspapers as I do, they're full to the brim of stories, little stories on page 7 or page 8 of rage, random rage. People are absolutely angry. And many people probably, they don't have any idea why they're angry. Going to finish with the papers with this mad story in The Times. Lawyer sued for saying only women have periods. Now, you might be tired of these stories, but they are very interesting and I think they're very important. So a lawyer and the government department she works with are being sued because she made gender-critical statements at work. She expressed the belief that only women menstruate, which is true, isn't it? At least we thought it was true for hundreds and hundreds of years, if not thousands. The woman in question is Elspeth Dumer Wrigley. What a fantastic name. She's obviously a posh bit of totty. I've probably pronounced her middle name wrong. Elspeth Dumer, that's D-U-E-M-M-E-R, Wrigley. She works at an arm's length body, whatever that is, affiliated to DEFRA. Now, DEFRA is the Department for Environmental, Food and Rural Affairs. She chairs a civil service network that represents staff with gender-critical views, does Elspeth Dumer Wrigley. Now, she's one of three signatories of an explosive letter sent in October to the Cabinet Secretary warning the impartiality of the civil service was under threat because anyone with gender-critical views was openly and unlawfully bullied and harassed. Now, it's a confidential letter, but The Times has seen it. And in it, this woman, Dumer Wrigley, and her two co-signatories make serious claims about a small number of active gender ideologues embedded in the civil service who brief against ministers and seek to alter official documents. So the civil service is being hijacked by gender ideologues who brief against ministers and they try to alter official documents, putting a gender ideology spin on these documents. So these gender ideologues have sued this woman, Elspeth Dumer Wrigley, and because of that she's got to appear at a employment tribunal next week accused of harassment for these comments, for saying things amongst other statements that only women menstruate. And she also posted a link to a book or a document called My Body Is Me, encouraging young people to accept their bodies and understand them. So this is mad shit, right? And we've heard this before, that government departments and particularly civil servants are overrun with these gender ideologues pushing this mad shit to basically to shape policy ultimately. So she's called it out and her co-signatories, and now she faces a tribunal accused of harassing these people. We do live in mad times. So the BBC News website, just very briefly, entire Gaza population facing acute hunger. That's the BBC. The BBC is also focusing on the conspiracy about the whereabouts of Kate Middleton. PE teachers are retraining in mathematics because there is a big shortage of mathematics teachers, according to the BBC too. And there is a story about a BBC presenter called Emma Barnett who's talking about why she wanted a baby loss certificate. That's a story which was covered by the press last week, where people whose babies were either stillborn or where they had a miscarriage, they seek a certificate, an acknowledgement that, you know, the baby lived, that the baby was a real person. That's an interesting story, if a bit heartfelt. Those were the papers then for Wednesday, the 20th of March, 2024. It's been nice chatting with you. I'm pretty sure I'm flying solo on the Richie Allen Show later on today. I'll have a few stories for you. I'll have a bit of crack for you. Join me at 4 o'clock on the usual channels. Do download the Richie Allen Show app if you can. And send me a message through it during the programme. Have a great Wednesday. From the BBG, Sloan Tommel.